Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Eason here with life coach and energy coach Linda Armstrong, and this is your daily dose of happy. We are so glad you decided to join us today. And Linda, we're coming to the end of a work week here that I'm kind of looking forward to the weekend this time. Usually it's, you know, Friday's like, oh, this is great. Okay. But this week it's like, oh my God, what have I taken on? I mean, my days have just been crazy, not crazy in the sense of I'm losing control, but crazy in terms of just lots of things to do. Very, very busy. Mostly regarding what I'm trying to do, getting my speaking career going. And I'm right to the point where I got almost everything set up. I got one last thing to do. I got to set up the contracts. Once I've got them set up, I can start reaching out. But oh my goodness. I thought it was just going to be easy. I thought you get up and you talk. I mean, how difficult can that be, right?
Yeah.
But no, it's a little bit more difficult than I thought, but that's okay. You know, so that's what weekends are for, you know, for recuperating, for getting the energy, getting the vibe back up. So I'm looking forward to that. How are you doing? You look nice in that. I love the, that colored outfit when you wear that one.
Thank you. I love this sweatshirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's warm and it's colorful.
On a day like this, I mean, temperatures in the teens in midday. Yeah. I mean, like, ooh, yeah. Good day to stay inside and stay warm. So, got a couple of pieces of business I want to take care of before we get started. First and foremost, I'm trying to remind everybody who has the older version of the LOA Today app on an Android device, not iPhones or anything else, just Androids. Look at the top. At the version number, if it's 8.3 or less, you need to do an uninstall and then a fresh reinstall. Make sure you do it in that order. If you don't, large parts of the app will never update, and so you won't get the goodies that come along down the pike. Make sure that you do it in that order. Don't install the new version before you uninstall the old version. Uninstall the old one first. You won't have any trouble. You do it the other way around, you're going to have a headache. You don't want to go that way. And this is just a one-time thing. It's because Google and I had a little disagreement, but we got it ironed out. And this was like the, what do they call it? The unintended consequences, I guess, is the best, most polite way of saying it, of what came out of that discussion that we had. We actually got booted off of Google Play Store for a bit because of that discussion.
Oh,
but,
wow.
we're back. It's okay. It's all straightened out. But make sure if you have the old version of the app on Android that you uninstall it and then reinstall with the new version, and you should be good to go. And I also want to make, I've been making reference to this all week, about 2 weeks ago. Actually, it was the day that you were off, Linda, that Rita and I did together. We were talking about, among other things, the talks that I'm putting together. And I was just kind of spitballing some ideas with Rita about different kinds of games that we can play in order to raise vibration. Kind of similar to the idea of doing a process, you know, where you do affirmations or you meditate or you do, you know, there's like a whole bunch of things you can do. But I'm taking to the next level and saying, well, you can also do them interactively and make it a thing where you're building each other up and not just building yourself up. And then it's more fun because it's a game kind of situation. So I kind of spitballed all these different game ideas, and it led Rita to suggest, well, maybe we should actually, you know, do something with that. And I thought, well, I suppose we could do like a weekend get together with listeners who wanted to be a part of it and have like a game day. So then I dropped it. I just forgot about it for a week. But then starting this past Monday, I said, okay, let's see if we can push for that a little bit. And we've gotten some interest. I've had a few listeners contact me saying, yes, they are interested. I want to get the numbers up a little bit more. And if I can get a few more people saying they're interested, then we'll schedule it. We'll have a weekend where, you know, we'll spend a couple hours just playing some vibe-raising games, which ought to be pretty cool. So
how would that work? That would be a Zoom that was open to lots of people to come onto and to interact through it.
Yeah, we'll just invite everybody onto the Zoom platform and we'll all interact. And you know, I'm aiming for maybe like, you know, having 10 people or something like that. That's a nice size group. Mm-hmm. You know, just it's kind of a way for me to kind of you know, test the different game ideas that I have in mind and see how well they actually play out. So yeah, it would be fun.
Sounds good.
So, I also want to mention how you contact me. Use the LOA Today app. That's one good way to do it. The other way, send an email to me, walt@loatoday.net, and that'll get right to me. And that way I'll know to add you to the list of people who are interested in this games idea or this group games idea online. And then we also had an email. This is kind of a general email we got today from a listener who's asking for some energy raising help. And I figured, well, I'm talking with the energy raising coach today. So what better show to do it on, right? So this is from Tammy, and she says, "Dear everyone, a request for a message of peace to a cat that showed up in our yard. We set a trap this morning. It's so cold and we don't want him outside another minute. Our plan is to welcome him inside to join our other rescued cats after bringing him to the vet to get the medical attention he needs and deserves. So please tell him," I guess she means energetically, "we want to help and not to be afraid and that he is important to us. And thank you very much." So, okay, we got marching orders to get started with the show today.
So, I mean, I'm sure she does that all the time anyway. She can do that herself.
I think she did it by writing the note, among other things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, I mean, I have a feral cat, a stray cat, feral cat, however you want to call it, but that I've befriended. And I actually have a sunroom outside, but you can only enter from outside. Mm-hmm. You can't enter from in the house. Mm-hmm. But I guess it was a porch and then it was closed off, you know?
Right.
So, I bought one of these little, I got to be friends with this cat over the summer and we started feeding it. And once you start feeding it, they're going to keep coming back.
Oh yeah.
They just will. So this one in particular slowly got him used to me where he would jump on my lap and lay on my lap a little bit. I did trap him so that I could neuter him and so that he's not going to go making more babies around there, right? Because that's the best thing really you can do. Otherwise, you get a huge colony.
Exactly.
And I'm in New York, and it is freezing here. But let me tell you, this cat. So I got one of those little doors, because it's a sliding door to get into the sunroom. And I got this little thing that you flip in that has an opening at the bottom so he can come in and out, right?
Yep.
So now this cat now has this beautiful condo where he comes to at least twice a day. I mean, he's not always there is what I want to say. It could be freezing out and he can be in there and I've got this dog bed and I made this cover over. Like he's got his whole little cocoon. I mean, it's like comfortable. There's toys in there, which he never plays with because he's a wild cat. He doesn't care about toys.
Yeah. Anyway, absolutely. That's cool.
The point I'm trying to make is, and I feed him and he's getting fat, but I'm like, good, let him be fat for the winter. He can slim down afterwards, you know, because I want him to stay warm.
Right.
He's not always there.
Mm-hmm.
He's not always there. He's out. He'll come, he'll eat. If I have time to stay with him, he'll keep popping on my lap and, you know, like I pet him and he drools. This cat drools when he gets affection, right? Goes to eat. But he loves it out there. The cold does not bother this cat one bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I was worried about him. And what he's proving to me is that this is my environment.
Because
when I had him neutered, they said he was about 2 years old. And it made perfect sense because there was another stray mama that I was feeding, and she had three babies with her. Two of them were orange. And this cat's mostly orange. I know that he is one of those that was there 2 years prior.
Yeah.
So he's been living around here for 2 years through really bad winters before he met me.
Yep.
And now he's got his little condo and he doesn't stay there all the time.
That's true. It's true. Now I have a question for you because as listeners know, our cat was an outdoor cat until this past October when he got attacked by a predator and we keep him inside. In fact, he's in my lap right now as we're doing this show. But before we brought him inside, we were trying to get him food outside because he wouldn't come in. He was a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week outdoor cat. And we wanted to make sure he was eating. We know that he was eating some game that he caught, but, you know, we want to make sure he had a full diet. And so we were putting food outside, and we put it right outside the front door. Well, one day we heard a scratch out there, and so I went to open the door. It wasn't him. It was a skunk. Eating the cat food. So I'm wondering, do you have any trouble with other animals trying to grab this this bounty that you're putting out for this stray cat?
You know what? I don't leave it there if he's not there.
Mm.
So when he's there, then I go out and I'll feed him in the morning. I'll feed him twice a day. If he comes around twice a day for food, I'll feed him twice a day.
Yeah.
So no other animals coming around to get it. There is another stray cat who I didn't know. Like, I didn't know if they have a tipped ear, it means that they were already neutered.
Right.
And that one was friendly. He let me pick it up. Like, this guy, I can pick him up, but he's like this if I pick him up, right? You know, he gets really tense. Every muscle locks in.
Yeah, sure.
But this other cat was like, and it had no front paws. I'm like, this cat must belong to someone. So I brought it to this animal shelter that's close to my house. And it turned out it was already neutered. And I said, I think this one can be rehomed because it's very friendly.
Yeah.
That cat, that was like months before I met the orange one again. That cat's come back. I guess they didn't rehome it. I guess it wasn't really, I don't know. But I've seen that cat around and I tried feeding that one. But that one must have another food source because it doesn't come here all the time.
Yeah, wow.
Why was I telling you that? I forget. What did you ask for? Oh, well, the skunk. Yeah, another animal eating it. No, so no, he'll gobble it all up. It's all gone. Nobody else
can
come.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. I did find a mouse head in the condo one day.
In the condo.
So he brought his dinner in with him into the room. But that was only once.
Yeah. This guy here, actually, this is like one of the nicest cats I've ever encountered. Like I said, he was a 24/7 outdoor cat. Since he came inside, he really hasn't given us any trouble about wanting to go outside. It's the other cat that wanted to go out.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. But he, how do you describe it? He is a thoughtful cat. I don't know any other way to describe it. For instance, after we moved here from Virginia, we found that, actually they found us in Virginia. They were abandoned by folks across the street, although we didn't know that. We brought him with us, and we brought his sister, we think it's his sister, with us as well. When we got up here, and after he'd been here for a while, you could tell he was going out of his way to thank us for rescuing them and so forth. And he would go catch prey and bring the prey for us to eat, you know, and get very forlorn when we wouldn't take it. You know, this is just, how could you turn down this one? And this is the good stuff. Like, you know, that's the attitude that he's giving. Like, how can you turn down the good stuff? We finally convinced him that it wasn't really people food, but, that's what he was trying to do. And
this cat that I have now, this stray cat, he'll do that. Like, he'll be eating and he wants to eat it all, but he'll come up on my lap and he'll go back down. I have a dog like that too. As we feed him, he has to keep coming over. Yep. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And then he goes back and eats. This cat's doing that too, innately. Yep. You know, it's just part of, but getting back to that person who asked the question, I think, you know, really we're sending that message out right now to that little cat, right?
Yeah.
But she can just keep communicating with it. And like every night when I go to sleep, I'm sent, cause I know he's out there. Who knows what he's doing? I just send him love and angels. You know, I'm like, love and angels, keep him safe. Because I worry about him more than he worries about himself, because he's totally fine out there. It's his environment.
Yeah. One of the things that's interesting about cats historically is that they came from the Middle East, primarily from Egypt. And Egypt, of course, is a desert country. So it's very, very cold at night, very, very hot during the day. And that's why they handle wide ranges of temperatures really, really easily. We actually have a stray that's around here, and it's gotten into a fight with this cat on occasion, and may even have been the case with the incident last October. And that guy's been out there in the worst of the cold and the worst of the snows and so forth for almost all the time we've been here, which is, what, how long have we been here? 6-7 years now? So, you know, he's well-established, well-ensconced. And he doesn't seem any of the worse for wear, you know? So, you know, he's an unfixed cat, you can tell that. But other than that, you know, he's doing okay. I just wish he would stop attacking this one. That's one of the reasons we had to bring him inside.
You know, so my dilemma with this cat is, because I do plan to move to Arizona.
Yes.
And we're like, well, we have to take, I call him Little Buddy. We have to take him with us. I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to have him. He's going to tell us if he's going to come with us when that time comes.
Yeah.
Because it's a whole different environment. And sometimes animals don't adjust to Arizona and New York are way different.
They are.
So I'll gladly take him, but it's not going to be because I can't live without him. It's got to be because somehow I get the message from him. He wants to come. So the way I look at it, another time I had a stray mama with like six to eight cat kittens. I don't remember what it was.
Mm.
And I was going to get a trap because I was going to trap them and have them all neutered and then put them back out again. Right.
Right.
And as soon as I did get the trap. As soon as I put that trap out, they moved. The mama took all the babies, went somewhere else. So that was to me saying, listen, we're totally fine. This is how we live.
Yeah.
Don't interfere.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've been telling this guy, if we move to Arizona, whenever that comes around, if you want to come with us, you're going to have to let us know. And if you don't, then you have to give me a signal, like by not showing up or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So I'm just talking to this animal like any other being I would speak to.
It's a great point because, I mean, it's easy for us as human beings who are very sympathetic, most of us are very sympathetic in our natures, to kind of project onto an animal that they're suffering when they may not be suffering at all. It's easy for us to do that. So it's a good reminder that, you know, we need to take a look at it from their perspective, the way they see it, which isn't always easy to see right off the bat. But if we do, more often than not, we find things are a lot better than we feared that they would be.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, a lot of times it is us interfering that makes things worse, because that soul of that animal, because I believe they have souls too, mm-hmm. chose not to be born where people would raise it.
Right, right.
Rather be born out in the wild, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, so I feel like if that's the innate intelligence within that, if I'm doing something to change it, they're going to leave, because I've mm-hmm. seen that happen a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm telling Buddy, I'm like, listen, you're going to have to let me know loud and clear, because I don't want to take you there and have it be awful for you.
Yeah.
And my son's like, well, what if we go there and 3 months later he finds his way to us? Because animals do that. He's like, and we could have saved him the trip. Well, maybe the trip's part of the adventure, you know? Oh, my God. Yeah.
I know dogs are known for doing that. I'm not sure that
cats
do.
Cats have done that.
That far?
I don't know how far, but I've heard stories like that, yeah.
Because I know generally a cat, their territory as they see it is no more than like, you know, 500 feet from where they sleep. So it's not a very wide area.
No, but there are a lot of people who have moved and then had like across country animals travel across country.
I've heard of dogs.
There's real stories about that. I can't think of any offhand right now, or even where to find the source. Mm. But I have seen that. Maybe my son knows recently.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you, Tammy, for sharing that. And hopefully that gives you a little bit more to think about and a little bit more peace where this particular cat is concerned.
And one more thing, and she probably does know it already, but when they leave, they leave. They're like, okay. And then they'll hop in another body if they want to. It's not mm-hmm. the same. Like that's the thing you were saying. We project our emotions and our thoughts and feelings onto them. Whereas they're just this spirit that's alive. And then if it isn't alive, it can be alive again. It doesn't like consider that it can't.
Yeah, we often think in terms of you get one life, that's it, you're done. And you don't have a whole lot of choice about it and so forth. And of course, in the conversations we've had, you and I have had, and I've had with other co-hosts and so forth, come to realize that's not really necessarily an accurate way of describing how things are. But that belief is still prevalent and I would, in some ways predominant in our society.
Yeah.
So it's not terribly surprising to encounter it.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, that's pretty much all I have in terms of messages and emails that came in and messages that I wanted to share. That was the more important part at the top of the show. But I figured that, like I've been doing all week, let's just continue the conversations that help me support me with putting my talks together, because I mean that's been really valuable. I mean, I have like the best resources in the world with all 7 or 8 of you guys who are my co-hosts feeding me all these information. Dan Mangana yesterday, oh my goodness, he was giving me some really great insights that I'm trying to figure out how to incorporate into what I'm going to do. But I'm just going to take advantage of it for another day here while I'm still in the mindset.
Well,
I'm just picking my mind a little bit.
I don't know how I would contribute because I haven't gone on that journey. Public speaking.
Well, it's not so much the public speaking side. It's more of the ideas behind it. Like yesterday, and for a large portion of this week, I actually have honed down the title of my talk, the base talk that I'm giving. It's increasing self-love, because what I've been realizing in the course of doing this, putting it together, and the research that I've done to kind of, you know, fill in the gaps to make sure I had everything covered, the self-love component is probably the most fundamental of all of them when it comes to law of attraction, interacting with source, interacting with inner being, and so forth. Because the more that your self-love is up, the higher the vibe it is. That's when you get, you know, your best results. And when you're not loving yourself as much, that's when you're more in the lower vibe space. So, you know, it's like this ongoing thing. It's not that we don't love ourselves. We do. All of us engage in self-love. It's just how much are we feeding it?
Yeah. So actually what's coming to my mind right off the bat though is because everything is made of love. I mean, love is the energy of everything.
Right.
So it only makes sense, if anyone ever considered it before, that in order to interact with that energy of love, the more self-love you have, the more you can flow with that energy, that higher vibe where things just, you know, it's moving into the fifth dimension. We're going to be like there mm-hmm. all the time instead of just visiting it now and then like we are.
Yeah.
Like we kind of are now.
Yeah,
some
that's
people
right.
aren't even considering it, but.
Well, that's right in line with what I've been thinking. You expressed it a little bit differently from the way I expressed it, but it's the exact same idea. And one of the kind of a breakthrough concepts I came to earlier this week was the realization when we are kind of, there's like a threshold, like a, they call it a tipping point, right? Where when you've built up your self-love to X point, whatever that is, anything above that is, I guess you could call it excess, and it just kind of flows into the continuum of everybody else. Up until that point, it's like you have like a gap. There's this is the amount that's missing that you need, because we all need to have that love, that energy in order to be creators, live the lives we want to lead, all that kind of stuff. So that tipping point kind of becomes, it's like the mark on the barometer, right? You know, 32.2 millibars. Anything above that, you're good. Anything below that, you don't have enough. And by the way, I made that number up. So anybody, don't send in the email and say, what's 32.2 millibars? It just came off the top of my head. Doesn't mean anything at all. But my point is, as I was thinking about that, I realized something kind of tied into what you've told me in the past. Once you go past that tipping point, it's not even a question of loving somebody else. You can't really help it. The love goes off anyway. It's not something that you have to plan. It's not something that you have to make sure that you do.
No, because when you're vibrating in it, you are it.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, it's interesting, too, for, like, people, because, you know, because I've asked people before, like, do you love yourself? And they're like, they couldn't just say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think not because they don't love themselves, because they never contemplated a question like that.
Right, yeah, we don't get that question.
You know, or that they, or that there's a component to loving yourself.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because we're taught they have to give that all to everybody else, right? Because a lot of people do that. They mm-hmm. fill everybody else up, but never fill themselves up.
Which is ironic when you think about it, by the way, before you go on to your next point, that very thing of trying to give love without filling yourself up, you get to the point where you're giving love that you don't have to give. You're basically depleting yourself to try to help somebody else. And you get to the point where there's nothing else left to give.
Right.
And that's when really, really awful stuff starts to happen, because now everybody's in a low vibe state.
Yeah, because that's why, I mean, that's, okay, before I go to that, I'm going to go to something with filling up with love. But
okay.
If, I don't want to forget, so this concept of like, do I love myself? Or I don't love myself, or I don't love myself enough, or whatever. You could, it's just a program in the mind.
Mm.
It's just a subconscious thing that could be running. So you can actually just kind of look at it and be like, I don't love myself. I don't love myself. You know, that's an interesting point of view.
Mm.
Like, is it real? And you can be like, I don't love myself. No, I love myself. It's like,
sure.
No, I don't have to have that story. I don't have to hold that story. Mm-hmm. I don't have to perpetuate that story.
Right.
And maybe someone in my family perpetuated that story, and now I'm just mirroring that. And then you're like, holy shit, I'm just mirroring that. Mm-hmm. It's like when you look at it, then you can look at it and then objectively say, well, is that really my story? It's a point of view. Does it have to be my point of view? No. And you can just wipe it right out. And then you just tell the universe, you know, I now choose to uncreate and destroy everything that has contributed to that story. And feel the energy. Like I can even feel the energy shift as I'm saying it, and just feel the energy around that. And be like, and then you kind of look at it, and it could almost start laughing. Like, oh my God, that's so silly. Like I've been holding that.
Yeah.
You know, and then you know you're really blowing the energy off.
Mm. Yeah.
Because then you're looking at it like it doesn't belong to you anymore. Like you can feel the separation where before you were holding that story, or you thought you had to hold that story, or somebody put that story on you and you're like mm-hmm. wearing it. And then you look at it and you're like, well, hold on a second. And the reason I'm saying this, because the message is coming. Sometimes people don't even, it's like you don't look at that you may have been holding the story that's not yours.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not yours, because we're love. Anything that makes you think it's your story, it's not your story. It's come from somewhere else. You weren't born here as a little baby thinking that you weren't lovable. Right?
Right.
Can have you ever seen any infant that look, that would hold that opinion of itself? They just bundle of joy.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, unless they're just plain abused, but yeah.
Yeah, but again, that's put on them from somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They didn't start that way.
Right.
I don't think any baby comes out of the womb with a huge story of not being loved.
Because they think it's Hollywood. Other than that, not in real life.
Yeah. So, you know, anyway. So what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So the other thing, too, is for me, it's very simple. If I'm feeling depleted in any way or something I see and it just like tears my heart apart or something, right? Or turns my stomach in knots. And that happens a lot lately. There's a lot of stuff out there. Mm. I have to keep filling myself up with light.
Yeah.
Even just if it's not even really happening, although for me, it is because that's what I believe. Even if you don't believe that is so, you can still play with it and be like, okay, what if I can just fill myself up with the good stuff, with love and with this energy that is a sunny day and not this miserable cold. I'm out and, you know, all alone. And you know, like, just keep filling yourself up and just use your imagination. Just fill yourself up. And I like to fill myself up so much that it's pouring out and going everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do it with my breath. I'll breathe in all of that light and then I'll send it out mm-hmm. everywhere, wherever it wants to go, to everything.
Mm-hmm. Circulating it, basically.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
But you'll find, at least I find, when I do that, I always feel it. I always feel mm-hmm. better.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if it doesn't feel like it could be true for someone, I'd say do it a bunch of times or do it for a week, a couple of times a day, and see if it starts to feel real.
Well, that's a key portion of what I've been thinking too, because I think the biggest mistake we make is we get a new idea, we find some value in it, and then we don't follow through and keep doing it. It's like none of this stuff really works unless we make it part of our daily routine. If it's not part of the daily routine, then it doesn't replace those old habits that you were talking about. The old habits have to be replaced. They can't just, you don't just kick them to the curb and then it has this void. You have to have something to fill the void.
But it doesn't, I agree with that, but it doesn't have to be a daily routine. It could just be something you experience for a while so that it's real for you. And then you can use it when you need it. Why not do it every day? Why not?
Yeah,
I do it every day.
I'm not sure what the downside is, but yeah.
Yeah, there's no downside. So, but sometimes people don't want to hear that they have to make it part of a routine. Like, so if you have those kind of programs that run against that, that's going to make you not want to look at it. It's like, it's weird. It's like religion. It was forced on me that I had to do that. I couldn't do it. So I never got any benefit from it because it was forced on me.
I see your point. Yeah. Because you don't want it to be forced.
And just the other day, I bought a Bible. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm buying a Bible. I did. And I have no clue how to read it.
Well, that's funny.
I've got it over here. I bought this, and it's got all these cool graphics in it, right? Like on pages and little things in the
margins. Yeah.
Right. So I'm like, oh, that, and it's supposed to be in plain speak. So it's not like I have to try and decipher what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah. Right.
Because I'm like, there's no way I could read anything like that. Mm. And even this, and I read pages for the first time today. I got it like 2 days ago and I didn't read a page until now, but, I'm like, oh shit, this makes no, I know nothing about this. Like they're referring to something else. I'm like, I have no clue what they're talking about. But I figure I'm going to use it the way I use these cards. I'm just going to flip to a page and see if there's a message on that page for me.
Well, sure. I mean, you can do that with any book. Why not the Bible? Yeah, absolutely.
That's the only way I'm going to be able to do it. and I'm only going to do it if I'm drawn to it. It's there now. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, there's got to be some good stuff in that book for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always pushed it away.
Yeah.
So let me find out what it's all about.
Okay.
Or parts of it. I don't know. But anyway, it's kind of.
It'll be a useful journey. One way or the other, it's going to be useful.
Yeah. I would never have considered doing it because I was told I had to do it in a certain way. That's the only reason why I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah. It's great to make it a daily routine, but don't let that put you off. It doesn't have to be a daily routine if you have a thing against daily routines.
Yeah. It's a good point. What you're really saying, and if I'm going to turn it into a different set of words, is don't do it if it feels like it's a chore. Do it out of joy. Do it because it feels like it's going to be a good thing.
It's just like gratitude. Yeah. You can do gratitude and appreciation because you're going to tick it off your thing for the day, but you're not going to feel it while you're doing it. You're just getting it done.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a difference because the energy is not what is meant to be for that.
It's interesting, though, that we have these conversations these days, and I love the fact that we do because obviously it's part of what we do here on the show. But part of what I've been reflecting on is there's a key portion of my talk where I basically tell a story from my freshman year in college. I'm trying to relate to the college students. Like, I've been through the same kind of stress as you have, and then some, because my freshman year, I ended up rooming with two of the biggest drug dealers on a campus of 25,000, which was not a very happy experience, as you might imagine. But the point of that was to draw that parallel, and also to make a point that at that point in time in my life, this was the mid-70s, it was right after the end of the Vietnam War. It was right after Nixon had resigned. The country was in kind of a malaise. It was about to enter a hyperinflation period. The economy was not doing well. I mean, there was a whole lot of not, it was very heavy energy at that time, to use our modern terminology. And on top of that, I went to college without having a whole lot of self-confidence. I really had no particular direction that I wanted to go. I had a degree in mind, but I didn't have a good reason for it. I mean, I was pretty much aimless and not a happy person. And as I reflect on how I ended up in that scenario, because obviously we attract everything into our lives, so I attracted that, I asked myself, you know, well, what would it have taken for me to not do that? And I realized I needed to have somebody explain to me how self-love works, why it's so important to fill your self-love, how all this stuff works energetically. And yet my parents didn't know to teach me that. My teachers didn't know to teach me that. None of my peers knew any, none of us knew about any of that stuff at that time, you know? So, well, heck, no wonder it's amazing that I actually found my way to it when you think about it, because there was nobody to teach me this stuff. And that has improved significantly. Today, we are now at a point where a larger chunk of the population understands and appreciates the importance of self-love, building self-love, teaching how to do it and so forth. And yet there's still a large population that has no relationship to it at all yet. I mean, it hasn't reached everybody yet. So we're kind of in a transition period, which is a great transition period. But oh my goodness, how did we all as a population miss this? That's the thought that keeps going through my mind. How did we miss this? This is so obvious.
Yeah. But it's perfect that your experience was that, because now you're the perfect person to share that.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah. And I mean, it gives me what I wanted. It gives me a way to relate to them so that they know, I know what you meant, what you're going through, even though it was for me back in the Stone Age, but I know.
Not the Stone Age. Look, spiritual growth.
Spiritual growth. Yeah. Well, that's the answer to how I got there. I think it was through a lot of spiritual growth. Yeah. Usually of the painful variety.
And spiritual growth, you grow through this energy of love. I mean, through opening up to it and to expanding into what that all could mean and more.
Yeah.
It's a four-letter word, L-O-V-E, but it holds so much. Okay, so let's see what this thing says.
Sure.
It says, this is a powerful time for you. Now, actually, when I was picking the card, I was asking specifically for you, because you were talking about this whole thing for you, basically.
Thank you.
Anyone else that would need this message, right?
Yeah, okay.
So it says, this is a powerful time for you. Your growth and understanding are unfolding at an incredible rate, and you feel more connected than ever to your soul, your gifts, and your purpose. Your angels are encouraging you to keep up the good work and continue expanding your knowledge, experience, and spiritual connection. When this card arrives for you, it is a confirmation that the experiences and the insights you have had recently have been divinely led.
Mm-hmm.
You may find yourself connecting to a particular energy. You may find yourself connecting to particular energies at this time, or even experiencing angels and guides visiting you. This card is letting you know that these experiences are real and are occurring because of your determination to open up spiritually. The path of light is unfolding for you, and you're being encouraged to hold your head high and focus on spiritual growth. The rest will be taken care of for you. Now, there's more, but I don't know if there's anything you want to say about that so far.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's pretty much described what I was just talking about, because my life from that point to this point has been one great big spiritually growing journey. And like I said, it was painful at times. At times it was frustrating, but I look back and it's very obvious to me how much growth I've gone through. And a large portion of it was because of all that unpleasant stuff that I went through.
Right.
I mean, that's just part of it. What is it Abraham talks about and others, the Dream of David, same thing, about how all of the expansion happens by the stuff that we don't like so much. It's not the feel good stuff that does all the expanding. It's the not feel good stuff that leads to all the expansion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go on. So it says, every experience is a learning experience. You're a student of life and spirit, and what has happened in your life hasn't happened to you. It's happened for you. Mm. So basically what you were just saying, really. You have incredible resilience to the capacity to overcome whatever darkness or unknown you face. No matter what has been served to you, you've done everything within your might and power to face it and to find a way forward. Angels are acknowledging your determination and the positive, kind-hearted, and upbeat energy that has allowed you to become the wonderful person that you are today. You may feel that your spiritual gifts are opening much more at this time. Be aware of any visions, psychic insight, or connections you develop, as they will be pivotal to your growth. And I think that, especially for you, is like, I think you're going to prove it to yourself that once you go on stage, I know I've said this to you before, but once you're in front of a bunch of people, your notes are going to go out the window.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Because whatever needs to flow is going to flow. You'll just be channeling whatever wants to come then.
The way I think about that.
When I give healing sessions, it doesn't matter how many modalities I know and the way that I'm taught to do them, it comes out however it wants to come out in that mm-hmm. time when the energy is flowing. And it's always what the other person is needing.
That's the part that I was about to touch on. When it's a little bit different when you're in front of a physical audience than when you're doing it virtually like we do here on the show. But when you're in that physical audience, for me, it's so overwhelming what's coming to me from the audience. And I can't usually describe it consciously other than to say, I know I'm getting a feeling from over here that this is what I need to focus on. And from over here, this is what I need to focus on. And that's the way it seems like. It seems like the audience is giving me that information. You describe it in terms of, you know, angels or dropping in or that kind of thing. I feel it like it's just coming from the people.
It's just the energy. It's the energy that's in the field that's mm-hmm. built up out of all of the people there.
Okay. Okay.
And you're just going to pick up on the energies. I mean, it's just going to come. It's going to come to you and through you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like one source that's going to speak to you and it's going to come out of your mouth without you knowing. It's like all these different elements because, you know, it's abundance, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just a little bit different when I'm dealing with a live audience as opposed to a virtual audience. Because in a virtual audience, it's one of the reasons I like having people like you on the show, you know, who are advanced and understand this stuff and can really carry on a good conversation. Because in a large way, I'm getting the vibe from the interaction with you. And that's where I'm getting a lot of what I'm feeling coming through.
But it's not just the energy with you and me right now. You are actually picking up on the audience, no matter where they are. You can't see them. But that's how energy comes together, right?
Okay.
So either you're in an auditorium and you have all these bodies there. The bodies don't have to be in your space for you to pick up on the energy of those that want to contribute to it.
Okay. I'm just expressing how it feels to me, but I believe what you're saying.
I just want you to know it's more than even what you're picking up on. Mm-hmm. And I want you to expand your mind into that.
Okay.
Right?
All right. So, I can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Am I saying this right?
I think so. I mean,
because definitely, you feel the energy. It's like going to like a concert.
Mm-hmm.
All that energy of all those people is feeding that artist. Doesn't matter if they know exactly what songs they're going to play.
Oh, yeah.
That energy is fueling it, and it's bringing all this, right?
Right.
So,
exactly.
So, and I'm sure they go off and do different things and, you know, don't, because they have to, because that's how the energy is coming to them, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So same thing when you're doing your talks, right? So you might have to have a linear idea that you're picking up on the energy that group of people are sending you, and you are. But that group of people doesn't have to be right there in front of you for you to feel it.
Mm.
So say this thing is being televised and there's a, you know, a couple hundred people there, but then there's thousands that are watching virtually.
Right, right.
Who's to say you're only picking up on the energy that's in front of you, because you're connected to that other energy that's watching from all over the planet too. It all contributes, because energy doesn't know walls and distance and space and time. It just is energy. So I don't know, maybe that says it a little bit better.
Well, it's what we do here anyway, because we're also live streaming this on YouTube as we're recording it. So it is happening both in the real time and in, I don't know how to describe it, after time. You know, after we're done recording, it still is connecting.
Yeah. And and actually what another little thing, if people need to understand it, proving it somehow, it's me and you talking right now.
Right.
But we're talking about whatever comes to us, and sometimes the cards lead us to it, or the cards just validate what we were already talking about, right? But then you get a message from somebody who totally connected and felt like it was for them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe there's 100 people who didn't send you a note to say it was for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that happens quite a bit. It happens quite frequently. The one time that I, not the one time, the one, how do I want to frame it? It's the one kind of experience that I do know that I have that points me in the direction of what you're talking about is very often in these conversations that we have while we do these shows, I start to make a comment. And in the middle of it, it's like I forget what it is I'm going to say, and something else starts to come out. So I just kind of go with what that, and it turns into something coherent. And then I play it back later, and I say, "Wow, that was a pretty good question. Where did that come from?" That's the best way I can tap into what you're talking about.
Totally. When I shoot like my YouTube videos, I haven't made one in a while, but I'm getting inspired again. Something's shifting in energy, there are a lot of times I even said at the end of my videos, like, I don't even know if I'm going to post this one because I don't know if any of this made any sense.
You say that so often. It's crazy.
And then I look back and I'm like, but that all makes sense. But at the time, I don't know, because it's kind of like I'm just picking up on whatever it is. So you probably find that for yourself, Walt. Like if you've given this talk and then afterwards you're like, oh my God, I don't even know if anything, the dots didn't connect. But then you get, people will come up to you and say, oh my God, this, right? Or hopefully you'll record it. Even if it's on your phone.
I'm planning to.
Yeah. And then you'll listen back and you're like, holy shit, where did that come from? I said that was perfect.
I was experiencing that yesterday with Dan Mangana. At one point in the conversation, I had this really, and it's literally just what I described a moment ago. I had this point that I was making, and it wasn't a point, it was more of a question that I wanted to ask him. It was a very, very specific question. And I start to frame the question, and like I just described, it just went out of my head. Well, I'm in the middle of talking, so I can't stop talking. So I kind of stumbled for a second trying to find my way. And the question that came out, I still don't know what the original question was, but I have a very strong sense the question that came out was a much better question than the one that I was originally framing. In fact, there's even a piece of me that says, was there even a question at all in the first place? Well, I'm not sure if there was. There may have been. I can't remember for sure. What I do know is what came out was, whoa, that was excellent. That was really excellent.
Yeah. So you had something drop in. And as it was dropping in, it's like, no, you don't need that.
Yeah, right.
Don't need that.
Overruled.
Yeah. I've had that before, too. I'm like, I don't even, did I answer your question? I don't really know.
Was that English? I'm just kind of curious. Yeah.
And isn't that fun?
It's spooky at times.
Spooky fun.
It is.
Spooky fun.
Yeah, it's both. But in the middle of it's a little uncomfortable when you're in the middle of it. At least for me, it is. It's like, oh God, where am I going to go with this? That's the feeling that kind of enters into it. But it doesn't last very long because I'm still talking, right?
And you know what's going to happen? The more that happens, the more it won't matter. Because the more you'll know, oh, yeah, okay, so whatever.
I think that's already happening to a degree. I think it's like I'm becoming acclimated to it because it happens more and more.
Yeah.
It's more familiar, so I don't, it doesn't jar me as much. I think that's probably the best way to say it. It doesn't, like, knock me off my game for a second. It used to.
And I found for me in the beginning when I started receiving stuff, I would think to myself, that can't be. You know, like, that doesn't make any sense. But then the next day, somebody will say exactly what that was that came to me. Mm. Right. So it's like I was getting confirmation. No, this was correct. You did hear it correctly.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, oh, okay. Oh, thank you, man. Cause I was questioning what, you know, it got in my head about it rather than just flowing with the energy of it.
Now you've had this experience in various forms longer than I have. So let me ask you a question from that perspective. Do you find over time that not just that you become more comfortable with the fact that these kinds of things happen, but do you get to the point where you feel like you're actually, how do you say it, like tapping into it before you even make your comment, that you're feeling it before you even say what you were going to previously say? So you don't have to do an in a midstream correction. It's just, it's already there before you get started.
I'm not sure I understand that question.
I'm just trying to describe it in terms of when the input comes in. Cause most, I think pretty much all the time that I get that input, it's in the middle of me starting to say something. And then all of a sudden it gets the old thing gets knocked out of my head and the new thing gets dropped in. I haven't yet gotten to the point where the new thing drops in and I can tell a new thing is dropping in before I even started saying something.
You know what? I think it's not going to matter. It's just going to flow. To where you're probably not even going to catch yourself that I think I was going somewhere else, but now I'm over here. Do you know what I mean? Because
not really.
I think the reason I'm having difficulty understanding your question is because I guess maybe because I don't question it anymore like I did in the beginning. And now I just trust that whatever needs to come out is going to come out. Mm-hmm. I just hope I say it coherently. Because in my own mind sometimes, I don't even know that any of it made any sense, right? Like what we were just talking about a minute ago.
Right.
But it's kind of, I mean, I think it's fun to be in that place where you're like, was that real? That just flow? Like, but I was going to, you know, like, it's like, yeah, okay, that's cool. Let's do more of that.
Let's do more
of that. But I think the more that you do it, the more that you don't question how it comes anymore. Maybe that's what I'm trying to say. It's like, it'll come in when it needs to come in.
Mm. Well, it does.
Somehow the flow got more like analytical, like maybe you're thinking, okay, what do I need to do to make these people happy here? Blah, 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 you know, that kind of thing. And then, okay, I got to ask this question. And then something else comes in. It's like, okay.
Well, I think I am getting more comfortable with it. That has become more and more evident to me as time has gone on. And I think this really pretty much started, I think like after you'd been on the show for maybe a year, is when it really started to kick in for me. And from that point, it has been going on fairly consistently. And you're right, it's gotten more comfortable over time.
Yeah.
I guess maybe it just stays in that pattern. I was just wondering if the pattern changes, I guess.
No, I think you're not even going to notice the pattern. It's just going to be so normal.
Yeah.
Like right now, maybe. Because when I first came on the show, I think maybe it was only law of attraction, mostly stuff you were talking
pretty
about.
Pretty much, yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Right.
And then we bring in this energy thing and you're like, what the heck is that? And then boom. And then the snowball. And then it expands. It expands, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have all kinds of spiritual people bringing other elements besides just the law of attraction.
Oh yeah. Well, that's been true for quite some time, but you definitely helped get me into this particular direction. Yeah.
Like the snowball started and then this person comes in and this person comes in and this and this and this and this and blah, 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 blah. Right.
And that's actually, from my perspective, that's the more fun part, watching who comes in. The latest one is Monique Scott, who's taking over the Wednesday spot for Cindy Chavez while Cindy's on a sabbatical like Rita is. Monique and I mean, we come from very different backgrounds, but it's just astonishing how similar they are. Despite the fact that the backgrounds are so different, the experiences, I mean, I had the drug dealer roommate. She had a drug dealer roommate. I had challenges with church. She came from a Baptist church. She had her own church. I mean, it's like one thing after another. We had the exact same kinds of experiences, just in two entirely different environments.
Right. And there are no coincidences.
And she appeared literally as a guest on the show 6 days before Cindy told me she wanted to take a sabbatical. And right after she was on the show, she said, if you get any openings, I'd like to come on. And if you ever get an opening for a co-host, I'd like to be a co-host. And then Cindy, basically the same day that she sent me that second message, that's the day that Cindy told me, I need to take a sabbatical. It's like, it was perfect. The timing could not have been better than that.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
So, and of course,
and of course you co-created it with her like does attract like, right? So,
Yeah. That part's fun to me. I love how the people who have come onto this show, both the ones who have come on like you as a co-host and others who just come on as guests, they've been perfect every time. They have fit in exactly the way they needed to fit in. And I didn't know that at any given time, what was going to happen. I mean, there was a couple cases where I was deliberately putting out there that I needed co-hosts and they showed up. But beyond that, I didn't have a plan. I didn't have a plan at all. I just wanted to keep the show going. I mean, that was my plan. That was my highly detailed, thought out plan.
No, your plan was the energy you were holding and building.
Yeah. Well, that was the true plan. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the way I was thinking about it was, well, who's going to take over the Thursday slot? That's the way I thought about it.
Yeah, because that was just your mind talking, but the other stuff was still doing its work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So cool. I just picked Call on Your Angels.
Oh, okay. All right. Make a note of that.
So let's see what this one wants to tell us. Besides calling on your angels. Call on angels for everything. Okay, so it says, be aware that you have a personal team of guardian angels who are working directly with you to keep you safe and on track with your soul's karma and purpose. Yeah, so those angels were working for you, pulling these people into your show.
No kidding. Yeah.
With their help, you have no need to feel lost, afraid, or concerned about your direction. Your angels are by your side as well as above you, behind you, and before you, closely watching over you and keeping you safe. You have angels who will connect you with the right support people and angels who will bring you presents. In fact, your angels have to protect, serve, and support you in every way possible. Even if you doubt their support, they're still there, keeping you safe every minute of the day. Take the risk of believing that you're protected and begin to relax and trust in their ability to look after you. They will reveal their presence by giving you a sign if you ask for it. So open your heart and your mind to receive their gifts.
Okay. All right. So it's a kind of reminder to me, consciously remember to reach out and say, thank you, angels. Please help some more. And I appreciate the fact that you're there.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Because what's more powerful than appreciation, right?
Yeah. I mean, you just talk like you're talking to a friend.
Mm-hmm.
There's no right way, no wrong way, no way that it works better than another way.
Because
they're with you. They're there.
I'm just reflecting that I need to spend more time acknowledging.
No, I know. I get that. But if anybody's wondering, how do you do that?
See what you mean. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you're right.
You just talk. Just talk to those angels. And you know what? Be that little kid again who can use their imagination. Well, what if I had angels? What if this stuff is really true? What would it hurt for me to just kind of play with it for a while? Like we were saying before, play with bringing in the light.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it. Do it for a week or two and see if you feel better doing it. If you feel worse doing it, then don't do it.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's funny as you were saying that, though, it was occurring to me that we can easily get ourselves into a space of saying, oh, but it could work out badly. If something bad could go wrong if I focus on that kind of thing. And it occurred to me that that's something that we're taught. I mean, there are a lot of different ways, institutions, you know, religions, all kinds of things that teach us, oh, no. You don't answer the voices in your head, right?
Yeah.
You're crazy if you do that, you know. We get a lot of contrary messages.
Let me share a quick story because I think we're running out of time. But I had a woman that I was working with, very spiritual woman. Hmm. But like when I'd be talking about, like, you know, putting out the desires of what you want and all this kind of stuff, you know, mm-hmm. it coming to you, she would say to me, no, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. When I put out my fear of what could happen, that's when the good thing happens. I'm like, really? Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, if I say the good thing, it doesn't happen. I get the bad thing. If I say a bad thing, the good thing happens. I'm like, well, if that works for you, keep doing it. Yeah. But would you like to try and change it to where you don't have to do it in that way? Because that feels like, that feels heavy. That feels like a lot of work to have it happen that way. You know, so then we worked on that kind of stuff.
Yeah, clearly she had, like, flipped the meaning of the word so that anything that was bad, she had a good vibration associated with it.
She learned it. she learned it somehow. So that programming.
Yeah.
That it's better to say what you don't want and be happy with what you get. Who knows what it was? We don't even need to know.
Not really,
but,
no.
But she had it in reverse.
Right, yeah.
And it was working for her.
Association.
Yeah. It was working for her. But I'm like, but does it feel good when you have to put out the bad thing? She's like, yeah, no, I don't like it.
So that's a good thing.
I don't even know that she ever really flipped it, but she did work towards not having, she worked towards not having the fear of putting out a good thing and so that she didn't expect a bad thing.
Well, that's a good way to start. Yeah.
Yeah. But if a bad, actually, I think that now I'm remembering. Yeah. So, but if a bad thing came into her mind, she didn't mind so much because she knew that if that bad thing came into her mind, a good thing would happen.
Okay. So she built a good association that way.
So maybe that's how the association started for her. I don't even know.
Possibly.
But yeah, that was, I was like, whoa, that was a new one.
It shows just how powerful we are. It isn't the words. It's the vibration. It's the association we have with it. I mean, if we can find a way to say in our minds and really believe that, seeing desolation means you're going to be wealthy. Well, then seeing desolation is going to mean you're going to be wealthy because you're associating wealth with desolation. Now, it's not personally something I would choose as a way to associate, but humans are capable of doing that.
But being aware of that, and if that is happening for anyone out there, and maybe that's why we're talking about it, you can choose to have it come to you in a different way.
Yeah.
It's all about choice. We create it. We create everything. Yeah.
And is that something that you would normally recommend? I mean, you kind of offered it to that client, but is this something you would recommend to me? That's something I would recommend. I would recommend ironing that kind of thing out to make it easier to just do the stuff the way you want to.
The way I would say it is if that's working with you and that feels good to you, fine.
Okay.
Don't change it. But if there's something about that you would rather it be another way, then why not start leaning towards the other way?
Yeah, that's a good way to say it.
Yeah, because who's to say that that's not the right way?
Yeah. Well, it's all perspective anyway. So
like,
sure.
I never tell anyone they're doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because how do I know they're doing it wrong?
We're all individual
creators, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But I know what things, that's why I'll share what works for me. Because that's all I can do is I can share what works for me.
Right. Yeah. That's ultimately
you know?
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's,
and you can decide if that feels good to you, you can try that too. You don't have to.
For the last couple minutes we have, I want to remind people, take advantage of the LOA Today app, which we were talking about at the top of the show, but this is for everybody this time. Take advantage of it and send in questions for us to address because questions that you want us to go into. Just because Rita isn't on the show doesn't mean you can't ask for some sort of psychic help. Linda is also really good at that kind of thing. Or if you just want to share comments about, you know, what you're listening to here on the show, we've had a lot of that lately. People writing and saying, oh, wow, that show really resonated with me for X, Y, and Z reason. But please send the messages in. Take advantage of that app. That's why we built that in there so you can do that exactly and just, you know, find a nice, easy way to connect with us. And also, I want to remind people that starting next week, we're going to be focusing more intently on what's happening with the year. So far, January has been about me and the talk, but we're going to shift more into talking about what 2021 is going to be about. So if you have questions or comments about that, send that in. We'll get started on that. But meanwhile, Linda, this is great as usual. Thanks for the cards were perfect for me today. I hope they were good for other people too, but man, you nailed them for me. That was really good. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Thank you for
the insights
too. I appreciate that so much. And thank you for being you. I mean, you contribute to the show in amazing ways. I don't think we really give you enough acknowledgement for that, but thank you.
Well, thank you. And thank you for being you who's brought this show and so many different people. That's what's nice about it too, Walt, is that you have so many different people at different points of views of this experience we call life. And now I love that a lot of it, probably all of it now, is geared towards really understanding the energetics of it because it's all energy. It really is all energy.
That's pretty cool. So thank you.
What is Abraham? Abraham is channeling the energy.
Oh, no,
not Abraham.
No.
I mean, you know, Abraham is the energy.
Yep.
Esther's channeling that energy.
Right.
It's all energy.
Same thing with David and the stream of David. Yeah, same thing. So good. Thank you very much and have a great weekend. Thank you to our listeners as well. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.